is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Another day of Christian broadcasting for Southwest Radio Church. Thank you for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. I love Christian radio. There are a lot of people who might not normally go to church, but Christian radio provides spiritually nourishing food for the soul through the radio. I started on WHCB Radio. We herald Christ's blessings, 91.5 FM, Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. Kenneth Hill was my mentor, and it's been a great blessing to be able to serve the Lord in this manner and get the Word of God out to multitudes of people. In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, we read, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty.'" You know, friends, when God spoke to Moses and disclosed his nature, the very first characteristic of his nature that is revealed, he is a God of compassion and grace. The Lord is abundant in goodness, or abounding in goodness. The word abounding points to something that is bubbling up and overflowing. As in Psalm 23, "My cup runneth over," a beautiful picture of the goodness of God, a goodness that bubbles up and is overflowing. But of God, it also says he will by no means clear the guilty. God is first of all compassionate, but he is also just. Now you might ask, but Pastor Larry, if God is just, how can I have a relationship with God? That's a good question, and I have a good answer. You can have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We all love the book of Revelation. More than one-tenth of the book of Revelation is devoted to prophecies about Babylon, the center of the Antichrist world government. While Jerusalem is the most often mentioned city in the Bible, Babylon is the second most often mentioned city. I have before me a new book by Dr. Ron Rhodes, New Babylon Rising, The Emerging End Times World Order. Dr. Rhodes is on the phone with me, and we are delighted to have him as our guest. Ron, thank you so much for New Babylon Rising.
Well, thank you so much. It's a topic that I love to write about, and I might mention to you that Bible prophecy is what got me to become a Christian in the first place. And so, it's got a lot of importance to me.
You know, you just mentioned about Bible prophecy and the apologetic value of it. When you look at the world and what's going on today and realize that the Bible was written thousands of years ago, centuries ago, you say there's got to be some kind of a superior divine intelligence behind it to make it all so real. And who could know what's going on today? So I think you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, a lot of people say that the world is falling apart, and I don't think that's true. I think everything is falling into place prophetically. You know, the scriptures are very clear what the last days would look like. And you mentioned apologetics. Well, you know, when you're talking to people, you can just talk about one prophecy after another, and I like to call it the convergence factor. You know, you've got a number of different prophecies converging. And, you know, just as the prophecies of the first coming of Christ came to pass literally, so I believe that the second coming prophecies will come to pass just as literally. And what that means is, if you want to understand how God's going to fulfill a prophecy today, just take a look at how he has fulfilled prophecy in the past.
The different approaches to interpreting the book of Revelation, I think unless we understand prophecy literally, it doesn't make sense. And if we allegorize the text, scripture is at the mercy of the whims of the interpreter. So, as you pointed out, the messianic prophecies fulfilled at the first coming of Jesus were fulfilled literally, and that sets a pattern for understanding unfulfilled prophecy. So we can, if we understand scriptures and the book of Revelation and the Old Testament prophetic portions accurately and carefully and use the historical grammatical method of exegesis, we can really understand so much more than if we didn't have the prophetic word.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I grew up in a liberal church, and this liberal church said that the second coming refers to whenever a person finds God again in their heart. They taught that there's many ways to salvation, Jesus is just one way, and they taught that the Bible is a man-made book. Well, I tell you what turned me around on that. It's Bible prophecy, and Bible prophecy taught me that the Bible is absolutely trustworthy, because only God knows the future, and all of God's prophecies that he wants us to know about are found within the pages of Scripture. And because all of those prophecies of the first coming came to pass literally, and we're talking about a lot of prophecies, by the way, you can trust what the Bible says about the future as well. And so that's what turned me around. I left that liberal church, became a believer in the Lord Jesus, and I haven't looked back.
Right. Amen. That's so wonderful. And I think it's such a shame that today so many churches are departing from the Bible, and especially from prophecy. And prophecy is, you know, we're at the end of the age, and this is what we need to know and understand.
Well, after all, you know, over a fourth of the Bible was prophetic when written. How can you ignore one-fourth of the Bible? Not only that, but, you know, I'm sure that pastors want their congregation members to apply Scripture and to live righteously and to live in purity. One of the motivating factors for living righteously and living the way that God wants us to live is Bible prophecy. You know, whenever you look at the prophecies found in the New Testament, you often find an exhortation to live righteously right next to it. And so, you know, to me, it's a self-defeating thing not to teach Bible prophecy.
Well, you point out, and exactly what you're saying, but you say that Revelation 17 dramatically proves that false doctrine accompanies immoral living. It seems that, you know, we're living today in a Babylonian age.
We are, and there are many examples of that. And, you know, if you look at a lot of churches today that teach, you know, kind of what you might call fluff, there's a lot of fluff in the pulpit today, and there's not a lot of doctrine. It seems like doctrine has been issued out the back door, and experience has been issued in the front door. So everybody's got feelings about what they should believe, but many people have rejected both Scripture and Bible doctrine, and that is reflected in how people live. The polls indicate very clearly that there's not that much difference between secular people and how they live and Christians in the church, at least in many churches. And if you really believe in Scripture, if you're really walking with Jesus Christ, if you believe in Bible prophecy and that the Lord could come for us at any moment, it's not only going to change the way you view the world around you, it's also going to change the way that you live your life.
Yeah, this any moment return of Jesus at the rapture, I think, is very, very important, because we're really not looking for the Antichrist, for the revived Roman Empire, or anything like that. We're looking for Jesus, and the trumpet's going to sound, and we better be ready. The time is at hand right now.
It is at hand, and that's something that we call the imminence of the rapture. It could happen at any moment. There is not a single prophecy that must be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. And to me, that's one of the most exciting things, because when you look at the world around us, when you look at the sin that's out there, the anarchy and rebellion that we saw this past year, when you look at the international problems that exist, you know, I pray daily, Lord, come today. You know, I just can't wait.
I'm ready for the next 10 years. If the Lord doesn't come, I want to serve him. But if
Absolutely.
He comes right now, I'm ready.
Well, you know, once the rapture happens, we get those body upgrades.
Right.
And that in itself is something to look forward to. And, you know, that reminds me of how much Bible prophecy produces a sense of expectation in each of us. It's not only that the rapture could happen at any moment. It's also the fact that once we experience the rapture, we're going to have those brand new glorified bodies. Not only that, but we're going to be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gets even better, because we're also going to be fellowshipping in a giant reunion with Christian loved ones. And so that sense of expectation that Bible prophecy produces is something that puts wind in the sails of the Christian life.
Amen. And it's a great motivator for evangelism and missions, outreach, doing what we should be doing, what Jesus told us to do.
It is. And, you know, a lot of people ask me why I do what I do. Why are you engaged in teaching prophecy? Why are you engaged in apologetics? And this is the reason why. I don't know when the Lord is going to come, but I want to be ready when he does come. And I want to do everything that I can to snatch as many people from the bowels of hell as possible. We've got so many people teaching a washed-out version of the gospel today. We've got people denying that there's anything relating to eternal punishment in the afterlife. If anything, this is the most important time in history to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people. And Bible prophecy can be a fantastic tool in evangelism.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I really love your, I guess it's chapter 14, Living as an End Times Christian, where you speak about what's happening. You say a massive falling away from the truth, a widespread embracing of doctrinal error, profound moral decline, a growing tolerance for all things evil. Wow. I mean, we're seeing what the Bible is speaking about. It's not tomorrow or the day after or next year or 100 years from now. It's right now. This is, on the one hand, I would think if I were a non-Christian, I would be alarmed. On the other hand, knowing Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, I'm ready to do His will on this earth and also when He comes to go to be with Him.
Well, that's right. And that gets back to something that what you said before about how so many churches are not teaching prophecy today. You know, when you look at what's happening today with a massive falling away from truth and a widespread embracing of doctrinal error and moral decline and a growing tolerance for all things evil, you know, all of these things have been prophesied in Scripture. But if you have not been taught in your church that these things are in the Bible and are actually prophesied of the future, then it's not going to mean anything to you. And I think that the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, has really done a number today. I have often taught that Satan is a master marketer of false ideas. There's a lot of false doctrine out there today. And he's got something for every demographic of society out there. For example, there's a lot of different cults with different emphases, and they all target different kinds of people. So Satan's got all those covered. He's also got a variety of world religions. He's also got a variety of false doctrines that have actually penetrated the Christian church. We as Christians must be discerning in these end times. You know, just as Satan has this goal of keeping people out of the kingdom, so my goal, your goal, the goal of every Bible-believing Christian must be to speak the truth of the Word of God, including the prophetic proportions, because one-fourth of the Bible, over one-fourth, was prophetic when written. And so to me, it's not an option for the Christian today. It is a mandate.
Amen. Well, friends, we are speaking to Dr. Ron Rhodes, and we're talking about his book, New Babylon Rising, The Emerging End Times World Order. Ron, as we look a little more in detail at your book, what do you mean by the words New Babylon?
Well, that's a good question. You know, there was an old Babylon, and that's the Babylon that is in Scripture in the Old Testament. And as you know, Babylon was a literal city that really featured paganism, false religion. It was a commercial center. It was a political center. And just if all of those things were true of that first Babylon, so I believe that there's going to be a new Babylon in the end times. And during the seven-year tribulation period, the first half of the tribulation period, this new Babylon will feature a false religion. But in the second half of the tribulation, it becomes a commercial and political powerhouse, which I personally believe is going to be headed up by the Antichrist, who is energized by Satan himself. And of course, nobody will be able to buy or sell in those days without taking the mark of the beast. And if you wonder who they're buying and selling to, I think it's closely connected to New Babylon, the commercial center of the world. And so to me, it all connects together like pieces in a puzzle.
I know a popular view is that Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18 is first century Rome. I don't agree with that, and I don't think you do. I'm thinking Rome did not fall suddenly, as is true of the Babylon in chapter 17 and 18. And yet a lot of people, I guess that's the historicist position, hold to that view.
Well, it is a popular position. I've run into many people who have held to that viewpoint. But, you know, when you look at it, Rome's decline was also a very slow process. Rome's decline was over centuries, whereas Babylon, New Babylon, is going to be destroyed, like, suddenly and almost instantly. And not only that, Rome is not located in a desert or a wilderness. It's not a seaport city. You know, there's just too many things that don't fit for this Rome interpretation. So So, you know, as much as I know that a lot of people believe that viewpoint, there's just too many scriptural arguments against it, I think, for it to be a viable position.
Right. Well, what about the view that the references to Babylon refer to the Roman Catholic Church? And I remember Dave Hunt, had him on many times before. He was very eloquent for this view. And, of course, he was a dear brother, and we want to get back to the Scripture. So what about it referring
to... Well, you know, I love Dave, too. I used to do a lot of conferences with Dave back in the day. But there's a number of problems with that viewpoint, too. First of all, the Roman Catholic Church is certainly not the global commercial powerhouse that you see described in Revelation 18, nor has it ever ruled over the political leaders of the world and the peoples of the world. It does not engage in slave trade, as does New Babylon. It's also interesting to me personally that all the other cities mentioned in the book of Revelation are literal cities, not metaphorical. Furthermore, when you look at Jeremiah and Isaiah, from which the book of Revelation draws heavily in its view of Babylon, both Jeremiah and Isaiah both held to a literal city of Babylon. And since the book of Revelation draws heavily from those two books, I believe that that supports the idea that there's going to be a literal New Babylon, and that this is not referring to the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, friends, we're just about out of time for this interview, but we are going to have Dr. Ron Rhodes back with us for our next broadcast. And so now Matthew will come to the mic and tell you how you can get your own copy of New Babylon Rising.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. I think our listeners are going to like our special offer. It is the new book titled New Babylon Rising. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States, and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us and place your order, send that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book and any of our other materials on our website at swrc.com. We have the perfect companion book to go along with New Babylon Rising. It is the new book by Doug Woodward, and it's titled American Requiem: Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. You can have a copy of this very timely book for a gift of $25. Better yet, why not get both books, New Babylon Rising and American Requiem, for a gift of $40? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
It is natural to procrastinate, delay, and put off for another day what should have been done today. As a matter of fact, it is human nature to live by the illusion that we have more time than we actually do, especially when it comes to our eternal destiny. That is a dangerous way to live.
1 Peter 1:24 reminds us that, quote, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Death could overtake us through accident or through natural causes. And of course, one of these days, quite unannounced, the trumpet will sound. Jesus will return for his church, and those left behind will face the horrors of the tribulation.
The Lord is gracious and long-suffering, but the day of grace and invitation will end. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is a precious truth. However, procrastinators and all who live under the illusion that we have more time than we actually do need to read the next verse. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Thieves don't let you know when they're coming.
What should our response be then? It should be like that of the ancient city of Nineveh. Jonah came preaching that in 40 days, Nineveh would be destroyed. Jonah's preaching had a tremendous impact on the population. Even the king took off his royal robes and put on sackcloth and covered himself with ashes. The whole city cried out for mercy. Jonah 3:10 says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not."
Time is passing. Days become weeks, and weeks become months, and then years. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord, either at His coming or at our going. Now it's time to get right with God and right with one another. Whatever you know you should do, do it now. Don't put off getting saved one more day. Repent, reconcile, restore, and serve God today. All the signs are pointing to the coming of the Lord. We have never seen things of prophetic significance unfold and appear the way they're doing today. Even the so-called man on the street knows that something is about to happen. There is a sense of uneasiness in every heart.
Dear friends, that uneasiness in your heart could be the wooing, the calling, the urging of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who convicts of sin, but the Holy Spirit is also the one who leads you to the Savior. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Stop playing church. Get right or get left. Jesus is coming soon.
A Texas mayor is asking Joe Biden to think about the reality he is creating with policies that are increasing the number of illegal immigrants turned loose in local communities, according to the Western Journal, February 19th. I'm pleading and requesting with you to please put a halt to any measures regarding the release of immigrants awaiting court dates in the city of Del Rio and surrounding areas. City of Del Rio Mayor Bruno Lozano, a Democrat, said in a video posted on YouTube. Del Rio is located near the border between Texas and Mexico. Lozano was responding to Biden's decision to implement the so-called catch-and-release policy along the border, in which illegal immigrants who are detained would be released into nearby communities until they can have a court hearing on their immigration status. Lozano said his community has had enough. "We do not have the resources available to house and accommodate these migrants within our community. I will have no choice but to use the extreme measures under the emergency declaration as the mayor of the city of Del Rio, Texas, to refuse the entry of migrants awaiting court dates in the city of Del Rio," Lozano said. "If you do send these individuals into our community, we will be forced to make a decision to leave them without resources under these dire circumstances. I am asking to please stop. Please make another plan for this federal issue," he pleaded. "If you are going to allow these individuals into our community, I respectfully ask that you please provide the means and the supplies necessary to accommodate them safely under these extreme conditions. Due to the crisis," and we're talking about the weather crisis with the extreme cold, "we cannot provide these supplies." Lozano said his community needs help. "We're asking for supplies, water, and equal distribution of electrical power in our community," he said, noting that as of Wednesday when he filmed the message, there was no assurance when the community would again have power. "We have been outsourcing dialysis treatments for our in-need persons in our community," he said. "We have had to relocate the elderly who are in need of power for oxygen tanks. We're completely and utterly spread thin with resources for our own community. With the extreme weather conditions and icy roads, we're limited to what we can bring into the community. Del Rio cannot care for additional people," Lozano said. "Our nonprofits, our churches are running thin with resources to provide to our very own citizens." He said he will not risk the health of members of his community. We're seeing a seesaw issue here. First, consider 1 John 3:17, which clearly teaches, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" But now balance that with 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Under any circumstances, it is not a good situation.
What will the world look like in the last days? The Bible offers a fascinating look at New Babylon. Find out more when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. No matter how uncertain the future looks, you can have peace knowing that God is in control of all things. Do you have a prayer request or a question? Just send them to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. While you're online, please visit our website at swrc.com or go to our Facebook page. Leave us a message and let us know you stopped by. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, "I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching." While you're browsing our website, take a look at the many different sections we offer. If you missed a program or if you would like to listen to a program again, we have an entire year of programming available in our Listen section. There's lots of uplifting articles written by David Smith in our Encouragement section, and plenty of videos to watch in our Watch section. That's all happening at swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Ron Rhodes continue this series on Southwest Radio Church.